Hello and welcome to
It's a Gundam,
the internet's best episode-by-episode Gundam Seed podcast that finished Gundam 0083 and was like, surely OAF MS team is still good. My name is Jeremy.
People have been talking about whether or not 100 humans could beat a gorilla, but I think the real question is, can 100 gorillas beat one Zaku? I'm Tyler.
My name is Zach.
Today we are watching episode 3 of Mobile Suit Gundam, the OAF MS team, The Time Limit on Trust. What did you guys think about this episode? Because when I think of Mobile Suit Gundam, the OAF MS team, this is the episode I'm thinking of, despite it having almost nothing to do with the plot of the OAF MS team.
I thought it was okay. Like, I feel like we skipped a bunch of time that I wanted to see happen before the beginning of this episode, and that was weird. And then also, I don't know, I guess it's like establishing that Shiro will have some relationship dynamics with the gorilla faction, so
it's establishing he has a positive charisma modifier. Yes, use that to rally.
He's got some skill points and persuasion. It feels more like this is happening pretty close on the heels of the last episode because of the things that he tells the gorillas of, I haven't even, my team will all be dead before I've had the chance to get to know them. So it very much feels like that hasn't been that much time in between the episode before this one and this one.
That's true. I was thinking this, not really spoilers, but like in the context of the next episode, OAF MS team is like a lot more episodic than Stardust Memory was.
I think it starts out that way.
Yeah, and
it becomes less so, but it is very interesting, especially we just got done talking about episode 5 of G-Quux, which is also pretty episodic.
Yep. And, like, I'm not sure that's, like, a good thing or a bad thing. I think it is just a way to tell a story. It just feels weird.
It's not a very Gundam thing, though, I don't think. Because even the very episodic Monster of the Week type Gundams, like Mobile Suit Gundam, or to a lesser extent, Gundam Seed, it's very episodic in the moment-to-moment threats, but those carry over in the storyline, usually as ship is traveling to place.
Yes.
That's usually what the overarching thing is, and they face various difficulties on the way. But because this is a story about a team stationed at a base, there's no literal momentum. And so with us not knowing the plot beyond, there's Zeons and then they're hills.
Well, I mean, after a fashion, the fact that it is a bit episodic, like, it's just like snapshots and flashes of, like, this is just the mission. But at the same time, like, yes, there's going to be a lot of downtime in between each mission because you probably spend more time waiting around doing nothing. And honestly, who really wants to watch them spending time sitting around doing nothing?
Isn't MASH the most popular show of all time?
Yep.
I mean, it's certainly been going on for a long time, and I just thought about it. I'm like, have I missed it? It's been a long time since I actually watched a lot of the episodes of MASH.
I've never seen an episode of MASH.
Nor I.
I have seen almost all the episodes of MASH.
I've seen the opening of MASH on At Your House frequently. That's probably most of my time watching MASH has probably been watching the opening credits at Your House.
Well, I was going to say, that's what the ending credits of this are for, is it shows Shiro just lounging around in a hammock, right? So that's what's happening between episodes.
I also didn't like this episode much on this watch. My memory of it is a lot better than the episode is. Hopefully, the entire time we're going through it, I'm not going to hammer this, but particularly Shiro in the gang boss's house.
Yes.
Just kind of like, because in my memory, he's pleading and he's making points and they're having a back and forth. But mostly Shiro just waits until the GM's like, okay, and now your team is getting attacked. And then the boss is like, well, I guess I better let you go. Time for you to get going. You sure I can't give you some pie and my hot daughter on the way out?
The gorilla boss is not much of a character at all. He like has like two lines and they're like nothing. They're nothing.
I mean, Shiro is like, he's almost constantly pleading throughout that scene. It's just one of those things where he's not really making
a point.
Points.
There's
or
no progress
diplomacy
in
this until, like Jeremy was saying, like the GM was like, "Okay, now you have the opportunity to make your diplomacy check."
There's no progress in the scene on either side until the end of it. It's not like the gorilla boss is slapping down Shiro's points and being like, "Ah, but us gorillas who are clearly Vietnamese coded need these things from you, and you've screwed us over in this way." It's just kind of Shiro being like, please, I don't want all the other main characters to die. I don't want to have to roll up new characters.
The only note I took on this episode that I really liked was Kiki's gorilla delivery service.
Accurate. Shall we get into it?
Let's do.
OAF MS Team is the story of Shiro Armada. He was in space. He met a girl. She was in Zeon. She was like, here, give me my watch back later. He forgot to. Then he got to Earth, and he met Terry, a guy he had already met, who is bad luck, and Karen Joshua, who has red hair and is a bit no-nonsense, and Eleanor, who listens to headphones, and other guy on team, who probably has a name, but he's too young for us to remember it.
He writes letters.
To BB.
Then they went to the forest and hunted Zakis. He saw a naked girl, and it was like, pretty naked girl they have here on Earth. A plus, I'm going to give this place a positive Yelp review for this naked girl.
This random spring river.
And that's everything that's happened so far, right? Did I forget anything?
No, that's pretty much it. I am going to call those sneak attack falls based on this episode, so.
You can watch along if you have Hulu. We open up on a lizard in the jungle, but then that lizard is scared by a Zaku.
And Zaku is sneaky.
I do kind of love the Zaku blending in, but it's not sneaky enough not to get shot at.
It returns fire, clearly not hitting anything because the thing that was shooting at him was Shuro.
And though he is not camouflaged, he is prone. And this is not Metal Gear Solid 3 stealth system, so that's enough to hide.
I do like the slight, like, storytelling bit here that he's not wearing his pilot suit anymore.
Yep.
He's just in, like, fatigues.
And that, apparently that was giving him disadvantage, because now he can shoot Zakus without going on a whole toxic masculinity adventure about it.
I do love how the mobile suits in this take hits and don't immediately burst into flames.
Oh, yeah, because they're not using beam weapons, so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's pretty typical, especially in Universal Century. But watching Macross Delta, a show where everything explodes if anything looks at it, so nothing ever gets shot because then something would happen. I really appreciate how even in like Gundam Seed, people get their arm ripped off and stuff and don't explode. It's just Gaia, Ortega, and Mash who you stab their dom in the head, and for some reason that explodes the cockpit.
I love Shiro's dumb thumbs up that he gives his teammate that's cheering him on, because he gives them a thumbs up in his cockpit. You know, the person who can't see him.
Well, he forgot he's not in a mobile suit that responds to your motions, and the mobile suit is not giving a thumbs up.
Well, they might be on Space 80, or I guess Space 90s Zoom.
No,
so.
You can only do that with lasers in this system, though, so they would have to be beaming the Zoom directly to each other.
Completely randomly, Skype officially got killed recently.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
R.I.P. in peace.
Yep.
We get the title card, and Karen's like, oh, looks like all the training is paying off. But then she walks by a Zaku that has been submerged beneath the depths and is clipping out into reality.
It comes out of a bush.
And it goes for a heat hawk, and Shiro shoots it, and it stumbles onto Karen's Gundam.
And she's like, ah, that was a close one. I've never had support fire that close to me. And Shiro's like, now you see that I am a talented pilot, and you should respect me.
But then something else explodes, and it's Terry.
Well, it's near
being
Karen.
Shot at.
And they're like, ah, there's a pillbox on top of the hill.
I do like how one of the hits comes really close to their, like, command truck, causing Elidor to immediately, like, rip his headphones out and be like, ow!
I was listening to heavy metal really loud on those.
So Shiro's like, okay, we have to fall back and change the plan. They've got us penned in.
I do love seeing the tank just going, I'm out!
I mean, it's a hover tank in the jungle. It's by far the most maneuverable vehicle the OFMS team has. Then we cut to binocular vision, where they see Zeon is entrenched in these World War II Vietnam trenches with a bunch of pillboxes and Zakus.
I like the Zakus with in the trench, because you gotta think about, Jesus Christ, that's like a 30-foot trench.
They dug it with Zaku shovel, so.
Zaku latrine.
I just had an image of a Zaku with a huge shovel sticking yes. into the ground yep. and pushing it in.
Correct. They didn't bring the digging mobile suits they specially built to attack Jaburo here. Those are on another continent.
Well, so you've seen the Heat Hawk. They also have heat spades for Zaku gardening.
There are a whole bunch of Kriegers that just started salivating, Tyler.
So Shiro gives us the mission briefing for this level, I mean this episode of OFMS Team, about how well-fortified Zeon is.
It's but like, there's but a village in the way.
Including the problem that there's a village that Zeon took, and that's creating a problem for them.
I do love, we get a shot of Elidor sitting on the rifle of, I think that's Terry's suit, cleaning out the barrel, or I guess the chamber.
And Cher's like, man, I wish we could call for air support. And Karen's like, yeah, but before we get a kill streak big enough to allow that, they'll hunt us down and kill us like dogs.
But then Shiro has an idea and is like, hey, if we follow this waterfall and this river, we can come up behind them.
And do a sneak attack. A pincer move. All those other things people like to talk about in tactical RPGs. And Karen's like, you'd have to be careful. There's gorillas in that forest.
And Shiro's like, I've seen those at the zoo.
The space zoo. Karen's like, who runs the sneak attack? And then Shiro remembers that time he saw a naked girl. And he's like, I'll do it.
For no particular reason. No, it's mostly he's like, I know that area because I've been there before. Yeah, but like, the reason he knows it is because he was...
I've been to those falls. I'm not going to tell you what I saw at those falls, but I've been there. And Karen's like, you've been there? And of course, Elidor is like, he's got the least experience, so I guess he's the most expendable, so it makes sense to me.
So she's like, Karen, you're in charge until I get back.
And she's like, I don't think this is a good plan. And he's like, don't worry about it. I've got main character energy.
Anyway, let's say 3 hours. I'm pretty sure that's when this watch is going to beep next. It's 3 hours from now as he takes out the watch that Ina gave him. So in 3 hours, we'll do a sneak attack. I'm the decoy, but the plan is you go be a decoy and then I'll sneak attack. And Karen's like, you know, we'll only be able to last an hour at most, right, sir? And he's like, that's plenty of sneak attack time. I can get so many D6 of damage in an hour. Don't even worry about it. A round's only 6 seconds. You know how many D6 that adds up to in an hour? Enough to kill a Zaku.
I'm just imagining stabbing a Zaku with a rapier repeatedly until it explodes.
We call that Final Fantasy. Look, I am developing in the background a mobile suit Gundam-inspired RPG, and I did accidentally add magical girls to it and have to take them out.
Why?
Well, you see, I was thinking about Cthulhu Tech, and you know, Cthulhu Tech has that awkward thing with the taggers, and I was like, yeah, that never really appealed to me. Oh, man, but taggers are basically just Kamen Riders, and Kamen Riders are basically magical girls, and what if it was magical girls running around? And I already had the Catholic Church and demons in this setting, and I was like, oh, man, magical girls slot right in. I'm like, no, Jeremy, scope creep, you need to take them out.
Yeah, they definitely don't play in the same game as the mecha in that series, which is kind of a shame, because they are really cool.
Completely randomly, we had someone in at Zymos the other day, and we were talking about nerd stuff, and he's like, oh, by the way, I run a big Discord where some of us are designing a Gundam RPG.
That's just what happens. You just end up, every man eventually, like, just like all life forms eventually evolve into crabs, every nerd just eventually starts designing a Gundam RPG. So Elidor and guy who writes letters to BB, who one day will learn his name, one day, start talking, and Kid is like, man, gorillas are just like civilians, though, aren't they? And Elidor's like, no, kid, they're scary civilians. And Karen's like, hey, that's enough chatter. We have to go do sneak attack preps.
The lack of animation on her face in that scene.
It was really jarring.
She looked like a ditto.
Karen! The Shiro heads into the woods, and we see a not-naked girl, but it is that girl, being like, ah, I'd recognize that mobile suit perv anywhere, even in his mobile suit. He's coming.
BB letter writing kid's name is Mitchell Nina Rick.
One day we'll learn that.
Do you know how old he is? How old would you guess that he's supposed to be based on how he's drawn?
16.
He's 18.
I was going to say 15.
I mean, he's got to be able to enlist, right? But
Shiro's apparently 23.
Given that Amuro is, what, 15?
I think Amuro is 18.
Okay, so the children that
they do have, look, the children are not enlisted. They just give them machine guns for their own protection in case Zeon boards. Because Zeon boards more than once in that series. And between the three of them, they can carry a machine gun. So Shiro gets to Pervert Falls and is like, ah, man, of course there's no naked girls here. But then he hears something on his cockpit and grabs his gun.
And he turns on all cameras and doesn't see anything until a wild Kiki smashes into the front of the cockpit. So he opens it up to be like, what the hell? And then he's held at gunpoint by Kiki's lackeys, I guess?
Her gorillas. She has 1d4 gorillas with her at all times. Except for when she's naked and bathing. And they're like, aw, man, back for more, pervert? Well, this time we brought guns. So checkmate, atheist. Anyway, they start calling Shiro a pervert who's trying to spy on underage girls and start kicking him for his crimes. Well, he claims it was an accident. And a bunch of other gorillas just chill on the Gundam.
And one of them starts trying to turn it on.
And nearly murders a person sitting on the Gundam's V-fin.
Yeah, because he starts turning the head.
And Shiro's like, hey, you can kick me, but stop messing with my Gundam.
And then the gorilla faction, apparently extremely well-armed, because Kiki fires 3 shots into the air to get everyone's attention.
In fairness, I'm pretty sure she took that pistol from Shiro.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, even if she didn't, it's probably like a 45 or 9 millimeter. It's probably not something that they particularly would struggle to get.
Also, all of these gorillas is armed with one Rambo's worth of weapons, so they do actually seem pretty well armed.
I mean, I guess it would kind of depend on, like, if they just hit one or two Zeon convoys and just stole the stuff on board.
That's a good point.
Probably be pretty well off, even if they couldn't necessarily use any of the, like, mobile suit scale weaponry. And so Kiki's like, you wanted me, right? And Shiro's like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's like, yeah, you're all rude and vulgar and perverts. And Shiro's like, hey, you're the one who just, like, is judging me and grabbed me out of my mobile suit to beat me up. Plus, you're just a kid. Why would I be interested in you? I already met a hot Zeon girl in space. So Kiki slaps him and is like, then why were you staring at me naked? He's like, you know, like Animal Planet beauty. You're Animal Planet beautiful, not sexy beautiful. You're like 17.
And it was hot.
And he was tired. He'd been trekking all day.
He's like, anyway, I don't have time to waste with you, so officer, can you let me off on this one? And then he gets butted with a rifle by a big gorilla. Cut over to Michelin Star?
Yeah, close enough, yep.
Who's writing a review to his girlfriend of the war.
The anticipation is great. 3 out of 5 stars.
My partner won't tear his ears away from the solar panel at any time. Like, his dedication is so amazing.
And we see him yawning and just listening to music. And be like, how the hell did this song get to the top of the charts? Like, Call Me Maybe I get, but this one? And Elder's like, man, chicks don't like clingy guys. Look, it's good to remind her you exist, but if you just keep riding day after day, she's going to dump you.
But then he gets a call from Karen.
And we see, I love the, like, USB ass, like,
chip that's in the Gundam's hand.
Yeah, that, which is presumably how it, like, gets feedback from the weapons.
Yeah, that, like, slots in as she grabs a rocket launcher.
Yep.
It's very cool. Anyway, the ground-type Gundams have rocket launchers.
It's like a, it's different from the RX-78's, like, single tube, but a magazine.
Yeah, it's not a bazooka. It's like a four-pod rocket launcher. More like a missile launcher you'd see on a plane than a handheld one. Cut back to Shiro, who's been blindfolded and is being marched through the jungle, apologizing for seeing an underage naked girl. Unfortunately, these gorillas don't want to hear it.
And Shiro's like, look, I don't have time for this. I need to go save my team.
And they're like, we don't have time for this either. And he's like, then why are you doing it?
And quit poking me with that gun.
But we cut to the village and we see that the gorillas are not necessarily a
welcome sight here?
Yeah, as villagers scatter and, like, lock themselves up in their houses.
So they lead Shiro to the plantation in town and throw him on the table before a gang boss that Kiki is hanging all over. He's got a Solid Snake eye patch. Shiro's like, are you the one they call boss? He's like, no, I have surpassed the title of boss and become big boss.
So they've got all of Shiro's stuff spread out on a table.
And he's like, why did you come to our territory? Ancient Shira Armada. He's like, look, I'm sorry I didn't pay the gooner tax. I mean, the toll. But I'm in the middle of an important mission. I'm not here to perv. I'm here for mission.
His last name doesn't have an R in it.
It's just Armada. Yeah. Although Shiro Armada is basically what he does. He is basically a one-man army.
I mean,
so
you're not wrong. I just wanted to make sure that we had it on there.
So Shiro's like, you don't need me for anything, right?
Just
so
let
like,
me just give me my stuff and let me go.
And Kiki starts whispering to Big Boss as Shiro looks at the clock and sees it's almost 3. And he's like, look, I left a team in the oven and I really need to go get them out.
Otherwise, we're going to be hot cross done.
But Big Boss is like, it's time for my tea ritual. Jeremy settled into a Solid Snake impression. That's what my voice is going to be until he forgets.
Are we ever even going to see this guy again?
I think he appears again. I can't remember, though. It's been years since I saw this
series. He's such a nothing of a character. Like, clearly Kiki is the stand-in for this entire faction anyway, so.
But if we do, I get to go with the, kept you waiting, huh?
But so Shiro starts basically begging this dude.
And he's like, I'm busy with my tea. Cut to Karen looking at her not fancy watch she didn't get from a cute Zeon girl. And is like, well, it's attack o'clock, Elador. Let's go.
It must be tea time for them upstairs.
Then Terry's like, Master Chief, do you think he made it through? And she's like, yeah, he seemed confident. Let's go.
Man, we just keep getting all these Master Chiefs and power armor of some sort.
To be fair, Karin does preclude Master Chief by a while.
Predate by about 4 years? Not as long as you would think, but Halo's 2002, isn't it?
I think so. I thought this was 96.
It is 96. I was thinking 98. Gee, I have this problem in my brain where 96 and 98, like, it's the one thing I'm dyslexic about are the years 1996 and 1998.
I don't remember exactly when Halo came out. I know it was post-2000, but...
Back to Shiro and be like, how do I explain so you'll understand?
Maybe actually explain at all because you have not done this yet.
Anyway, you hate Xeon, right? And they like took over a village and you probably have friends there. Is that where Ocelot's hanging out? I'll save that village.
If we take out that gun, if we take out the guns, then you guys will benefit as well. Hey, give me my watch back.
Yeah, Kiki is playing with his watch. He's like, my friends are waiting for me to help carry out our plan. Come on.
It'll free your friends, too, if we get the village loose.
Which seems to at least play with Kiki, because we get a close-up on her. And then we cut back to
Xeon. Is this a special Zaku here?
This is a Zaku cannon. You can tell because it's a Zaku with a cannon on it.
Okay, it's just a Zaku with a cannon on it, basically.
I mean, it's the Zaku cannon. It's the MSO6 Kazak. Not the MSO6F or the MSO6J, which is the standard ground-type Zaku. This is a more advanced model. You can tell because they stuck a cannon on it. It's good for shooting Gundams that are down there. And since they're up on a hill, pretty good mobile suit to have right now. The problem with it is that the recoil is pretty bad. But if you put the Zaku in like a trench like they seem to have, I think you could probably negate most of that downside.
Makes sense to me.
But we see the entrenchment up on the hill just absolutely shelling the 8th MS team.
And Karen's like, shoot him more good. And they're like, where's the commander? He's supposed to be doing a sneak attack.
Who is now 5 minutes late.
Think of all the D6 damage we've already lost. So Shiro looks at his gun on the table, but gets slammed and made fun of by the gorillas when he tries to reach for it. Like, you think you can do that in front of Big Boss?
And I do like how the thing that he says immediately after that is, my team is my priority, not me. I don't want to lose any of them before I've gotten a chance to get to know them. Which is what I was alluding to earlier, where it's like, this must have only been like a few days after that second episode.
And it is a pretty Shiro thing. I feel like this is in line with his general ethos.
Very shonen protagonist, gotta take care of my friends, but also it is very in line with how he's already been presented with being more than willing to put himself in the line of fire first off.
Yep. I love how he's like, don't be a hero, do as I say, not as I do.
I catch.
Well, hey, hi, hello, and thank you for listening to episode 3 of our coverage of 08th MS Team. As you can probably tell from the audio quality, I am still in New York. By the time you're hearing this, I have a Monday night and a Tuesday night, so if y'all have any suggestions for things I should do, I'm in kind of central Manhattan, hit me up, let me know what you would do if you were in New York for 2 random days on a business trip. Quick plug for our patreon.com/lastpodcasts. We're almost done with GQux, y'all, and we're recording, I think, the penultimate episode of that this week. But if you want to hear our coverage of that ongoing, it is $1 a month, gets you access to that, or there's our standard $5 tier that gets you access to that in addition to all of our bonus episodes. Jeremy's editing a huge movie discussion that we did. It's on the Macross Delta movie, that's the kind of compilation-y movie. Passionate Walkery. It was a lot of fun to record. We'll see if it's a lot of fun to listen to. I think it should be, but also it's a massive project. Anyway, that's all I got. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to the episode.
Cut back from the eye catch, and Kiki's like, hey, Big Boss Dad, this might actually not be a terrible plan, right?
We all have friends there. That's where I keep my boyfriend. In the village that Xeon took, not where I am.
We won't have to take orders from Xeon anymore if we use him to get them free. And Shiro's like, fine, yes, we'll free the damn village. You can have all the shit we take. Except the Gundams.
And Big Boss is like, hey, there's a lot of people that are going to need medical attention. Like, can he deal with that? And he's like, yeah, sure, humanitarian aid or whatever. I don't care.
He's like, also, we would like Xeon to suffer. And he's like, oh, you want loot? You can have all the loot. I'm not a D&D character. You can have all of the loot. Karin will probably be mad. She's kind of a D&D character. But I don't care. think of all the good Xion loot. I think they have a Zaku they put a cannon on up there. And he's like, all right, but I, big boss, know not to trust any soldiers. So Kiki, you go watch him. Make sure he's not watching you, but that you're watching him.
She's like, I'll go with him. He owes me anyway.
And everyone's like, yeah, ha, 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 ha. Like they're at the end of a sitcom. And Shiryu's like, I am still in the middle of an episode of 08th MS Team. Please freeze frame high five at a later time.
And basically he's just like, fine, let's go.
And he's now 20 minutes late.
So Kiki's like, all right, Dad, I'll keep an eye on him. And he's like, not like you listened to me if I said no anyway.
Just for now, I'll declare a truce between us.
I think you mean, just for now, I'll declare a truce between us. I don't know if that's going to play right when I compress the voices, but I hope it does. Kiki, show the Anson the way back.
And then we find out that he's been in a wheelchair this whole time.
And the really big Rambo dude that's been sitting behind him is the guy that's pushing him around. She was like, huh, didn't see that coming.
So he gets back and he's like, God damn it, there's mud all over my cockpit. Why do you keep mud on Earth? In space, we got no dirt, we got no mud, we have AC. It's great.
Why are we even fighting over this planet?
And he's like, I don't have time for any of this crap. It's not like they had to beat me up. So now you, kid, get in. We've got to go.
So Kiki gets in the girlfriend seat, by which I mean the not seat, because this is specifically why Amara Ray, 10 years from now, has to design the girlfriend seat. It comes up way more often than you think.
So she's got a gun on Shiro, and he's like, what the fuck am I going to do? Try to do anything with a kid?
And she's like, I'm smarter than you anyway.
And give me my damn watch back.
And she's like, no, I got it by right of theft. And he's like, well, it's not mine to let you steal.
Oh, shit, 3:30.
I miss out on half an hour of sneak attack damage.
That's half past sneak attack. And she's like, hey, my name is Kiki, not girl.
Kiki logarithmic function.
Anyway, I know a shortcut.
You kids should show her some respect and get out of the way. I can't see.
Following the river is the fastest way, but also it's a river. And Shiro's like, I'm not afraid of a river.
So he does the only logical thing and gets in the river and army crawls up the river.
I mean,
it's a sneak attack.
Yeah, it's a multi-ton war machine. It's not going to worry about too much of a current in a river that shallow.
I just find it funny that he's like, this is the sneaky option. He's not wrong, but...
Go back to the OASMS team dying. Zion's like, man, good thing they're in Gundams. Man, I wish Zaku armor was like Gundam armor. We just keep shooting them and they just kind of get knocked around like Maru Ramius in there.
I do love the like, just normal infantry Zion army guys. Like, I've got my machine gun. I can do shit in this situation, but I got it.
Hey, maybe they try to charge the hill on foot at some point. No, there's like still no sound of the commander.
But there are some helicopters.
Two of them, and they're not our friends.
I looked these up, and they are something very sat or stupidly named, like battle helis or something.
Oh, I thought they're not Xion attack copters.
No, they have a specific name, and it ends in the word heli. And Karen's like, well, this shit just got worse.
And Elidor's like, man, is this Terry's fault for being a jinx? And then he puts some gum over his porn. Because he's into censorship? I'm not sure. He very tactically places the gum. Is it like one of those mouse pads thing where you pretend?
Search me.
Anyway, we cut off to the most, like, sniveling Star Wars Imperial agent I've ever seen. It's like, Captain Norris, our forces will be finishing off some random Gundams that have attacked them from below soon.
Oh, is this the same Norris from the next episode?
It is.
Okay.
One thing I was wondering, do the ground types have Vulcans?
No, they do not. That has been removed for something.
Okay, because they don't use them. And that, yeah. These Helos would be the perfect option to use Vulcans against.
Anyway, Norris is like, man, you really fucked up today. And he's like, it's really unfortunate that anything happened on inspection day.
How are we supposed to know the Federations would attack today?
Oh, by the way, I've heard the commander's sister, Ina, has grown into a lovely young woman.
And Norris just, like, stares at him.
I heard she had a hot space date with some random Federation guy, and it really made her glow up. He's like, yes, inspection, yes. Karen's like, God damn it, this is what I get for trusting the commander. Okay, we're gonna fall back. I think there's a viaduct we can use as cover.
Well, that's where they were before, is they were taking cover at the viaduct to wait for Shiro to show up. But hey, just as they're doing that, Shiro has engaged sneak attack.
Yeah, Xion starts exploding. they are extremely vulnerable from the flank, it turns out, because one bullet just blows up all these guns they have.
Well, he hits one of them, he hits their ammo dump, which, if Helldivers 2 has taught me anything, causes a huge explosion.
So Elder's like, all right, I'm going to Tokyo Drift my way right in there. Karen's like, aw, man, my trust in him is restored. Time to go.
It's almost like there was a time limit on trust or something.
Terry's like, aw, yeah, that's the commander I know who defeated a magic Zaku in a ball one time.
And the sniveling guy is like, they're attacking from the river, as Captain Norris is like, what's going on?
Ah, pincer maneuver, eh? Anyway, set us down here. I'm going to go fight him with my sword. I mean my Zaku. I call my Zaku my sword. It's a Romeo plus Juliet thing.
But yeah, here's where Shiro's like, I did it. I blew up their ammo dump. He also offers Kiki a chance to get out of the Gundam while he is 15 feet underwater.
Yeah, I found that really funny. He's like, now's your chance to get out. Go drown.
Look, he knows she can swim.
Ah, fair.
One of the few things he knows about her, can swim.
But see, here's the thing. If he let her out, then he would be making the cockpit all filled with water.
No, that's actually a bonus because it's filled with mud right now. So he's like, oh, I can clean it at the same time.
Ah, yes.
So he jumps back out to continue his sneak attack. Poor Zeon troops are pretty helpless against Gundams.
I love this camera that he extends to look above the water.
Yeah, but they have a periscope on the ground type Gundams.
But there are two Zakus coming in.
Not exceptionally gracefully.
Yeah, one of them is sliding and one of them is falling. And it gets Ewoked. I mean, gorillaed.
Yeah, so a bunch of guys jump out and throw a grenade into the stupid Zaku face mouth thing.
And explode it and flush out the pilot who has to surrender. Then we see gorillas with grappling hooks. This is why they have all the random Zeon guys with
guns. Yes, yeah.
Unfortunately, Shiro beat them up with his giant gun.
So there's Kiki's like, yeah, everybody came. But Shiro's like, but there's a Zaku coming for them, which means I got to get involved.
So he pops out of the river and aces this poor Zaku. Cut to attack Heli, attacking Karen, who is dual wielding a machine gun and a rocket launcher because she kind of rules.
And she gets the helicopter that shot at her.
Because while aerial maneuverability is good, she did bring a helicopter to a Gundam fight, and Domu Kashi never lose into a helicopter. The gorillas keep going forward, and the Zaku just kind of walks past them.
I think that's supposed to be Captain Norris' Zaku.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, given the next shot. And he's like, what? The gorillas are attacking. This base is fucked. And on inspection day, too. Someone's not passing inspection.
All right, sniveling coward, withdraw. I'm going to go fight a Gundam.
He's like, right, I'll hold them off from the north slope.
And then he immediately gets shot down. I guess he tries to pepper the gorillas on the way out, but...
But they take advantage of this nice trench that Zeon has left here for them.
I love the animation whenever one of the Gundams takes a heavy caliber hit from something, because it shifts and moves around like it actually got hit on that side.
Well, and it makes the shield feel like it's doing something also, because they're pretty good about taking hits on their shields.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it adds tension to the fight. It makes it feel like, oh, this could be bad for this character, but also they're just fine. It's a very good balance.
But Karen tells Elador to take care of the civilians, and then notices that all the gorillas are charging in against Zeon.
And Shiro is like, hey, I finally got my laser collar to work. Is everyone all right?
We're liberating the village. Don't hurt any of the civilians.
Karen's like, Roger, Sanders, do you copy? He's like, aye, copy. But then the attack heli shows up and he's like, no, you don't copy. I'm going to paste you with my helicopter.
So he launches a missile at point blank range.
That just bounces off the shield. And then Sanders is like, Gundam bazooka, and just absolutely murks this poor helicopter. That poor guy was on screen for like a minute in this entire episode.
He had so much character design, too.
I know.
My gun's bigger, small fry.
Cut back to Norris, who is sliding down the hills and being like, Federation forces can't take this many points of gorillas in a legal army? What is going on here?
I really like the cockpits that are shown in this series. Like, we saw it earlier with Shiro's, like, he's got the monitors in front of him, but then when in a couple of the shots you can see above him, he's got monitors basically looking straight up.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like it as a midpoint between the original series cockpits that are just like, computer, and the Zeta Gundam, like, 360 really cool panoramic ones. I love the idea that they just kept adding screens, and the pilots were like, I could really use more, though. And they're like, fine, it's all fucking screen, all around you. Are you happy now? Like, I could use a backup camera, though.
I could use a girlfriend seat.
No, that's an Amuro Ray special. Only when the pilots began designing did that get included.
I could use a fridge.
So Norris jumps out of an explosion on the high ground with his Heat Hawk to fight Shiro,
which gets stuck in Shiro's shield, which is rad,
and pitches them both into the river, and pitches Kiki over Shiro's seat and into his lap as she starts bouncing around the cockpit.
Yeah, which
this is why you always want to secure any loose items in your cockpit.
That's why you have the girlfriend seat to strap it in. It's also good for cargo. It's the girlfriend / MacGuffin seat. So Norris gets Shiro underwater, and they begin slow motion fighting so they're underwater.
Was it just me, or did Shiro just kick Norris?
Yes, he's a good Gundam pilot, Zach.
Gotcha. It's kind of dark down here, and I wanted to make sure that it got called out, and I didn't miss it.
Shiro would have aced Norris if he was in a ball this episode.
Balls don't operate in Earth's gravity, sadly.
Ah.
That is the only reason why Shiro does not no-cap one-man army the entire one-year war. It's because he's on Earth and away from his powerful ball.
Norris is like, you're skilled. But I'm going to take you out now. He's shoulder checks Shiro, which puts a Kiki's butt in his face.
And he's like, move, damn it.
And she's like, you think I want this? So she goes flying around the cockpit.
There are some very good comedy shots of, like, every time the Zaku punches the Gundam, a different part of Kiki goes flying into Shiro.
Because notably, Shiro is strapped down. Like, he's wearing the seatbelts, the harness, and all that.
So right as the Zaku's about to land, maybe a finishing punch, Shiro's like, solar flare!
And this always works. And then he punches so hard that it breaks Norris's monitors.
Well, presumably it, like, caved in the cockpit of the Zaku, which is what broke the monitors. Well, I guess he does have some kind of...
They have a chest Vulcan. They do not have the head Vulcans. Because Shiro jumps up and starts Vulcaning the river.
He does score a hit on Norris's Zaku.
And they're like, okay, is that enough? I love Kiki scanning around like she's being useful here.
It's very determined. It's very good. She's suddenly serious.
But nope, it's not nearly enough.
Norris rises out, a whole bunch of steam, and I love the inside shot of his cockpit that has sprung a leak.
We saw it in the shot that he jumps out, there's a significant dent right in the Zaku's chest.
And Kiki's like, he's getting away. And Shira's like, nah, I'm in no condition to chase him, and he's pretty fucked.
Yeah, it's like, my rifle's underwater somewhere, and my Vulcans don't have the range to catch him. And he spent the one command point on smoke, so he's got a -1 to be hit.
Cut to the gorillas salvaging Zaku's.
And Shira's like, wow, they're taking everything.
Kiki's like, you said we could have everything.
And Shiro's just like, wow, you know, when I said that, I didn't think you were going to take literally everything that's not nailed down.
Yeah, this is actually Kiki's repo service.
So we cut out to that. Eldor is complaining about how nobody is thanking them.
And Mitchell is like, yeah, at least one girl could throw themselves at me, right? And then I could tell my girlfriend how I didn't accept their offer and we should be together forever.
But then the gorillas decide they want their tank.
Which I'm pretty sure was not up for grabs. I'm pretty sure this is not part of the deal.
I don't think they take the tank. They just take everything in the tank.
Yeah, I think they strip it for parts.
Meanwhile, Shiro's just watching it happen, and it's just like, eh. Like, anything they take, we can requisition and get replaced, guys.
And Karen's like, we met the, get the injured out of the village mission objective. They're on the transports now.
I do really like how, before she comes up to Shiro, like, he's leaning on his Gundam's foot. But then as soon as she comes up to him, he, like, snaps to attention like she's his boss instead of the other way around.
And she's like, is it really okay to let them take everything? And he's like, well, I did say they could take everything, so. Plus, it's not like we need all this Zeon loot. For some reason, our mobile suits aren't compatible with each other, right, Chief? And she's like, call me Karen, man.
He's like, yeah, I'm sorry I was late.
And she's like, well, he did bring an entire guerrilla army with him, though, so maybe it's worth it. And Kiki's like, hey, is that cute Red Hood, the person who owns the watch? And he's like, what? No, she's a way hotter Canadian girl.
And Karen is just amazed at her commander's charisma score.
Which, yeah, I was going to say, I think that's the only way to interpret that look at the end of there.
And that's the end of the episode. Like I said, I was a little bit down on it this watch through. I think I liked it a little bit more talking about it with you guys. I think what I don't like about it is that episodic feel and how this, like, it really does feel like if you miss the first two episodes, this is a fine entry point. And to be honest, the reason I think about this episode when I think of 08th MS Team might be that that's exactly what happened to me. I know I missed the first episode when it first ran on Toonami. I don't remember if I saw the second episode or not, but I know I saw this one.
I can't remember most of the episodes and whatnot. Like, I remember a very overarching general feel for the series, but because it's been long enough since I saw it, I don't remember most specifics. Like, I remembered War for Two, but I honestly thought that happened later in the series.
But didn't you first watch it on DVD?
Yes.
So you would have seen it in order, even if your memory is faulty.
No, I think part of the problem is it doesn't feel like there's a lot of cohesion between the episodes so far. They're still kind of establishing setting a little bit. It's just like, they don't have a lot of runtime to do that, and they're spending a lot of time on it.
There just isn't the momentum, right? Like I talked about earlier, we're not on a ship, so we're not going to a place. And especially if we're comparing it to Stardust Memory, which we just watched, this was when that series was kind of at its peak, right? When they're going through Africa trying to find something. And the plot of this series hasn't even started yet, if we're being honest.
I mean, that's entirely accurate. Right now, we just have a mobile suit team piloting ground-type Gundams, which are basically brand new, at a nebulous point in time in the original series, fighting Zakus. And that's pretty much it. This is like level 1 to 5 of a D&D campaign.
Do you have a high point, Tyler?
Huh. I kind of forgot that we were doing high points, so I wasn't thinking about it. Okay, I think actually it's the scene specifically where the helicopter shoots at Karen while she's dual-wielding a machine gun and a rocket launcher, and she just, like, no-scopes it. Karen is surprisingly badass. I like her a lot, and I'm glad she gets to do stuff.
I do really like that Karen, a veteran pilot, we know she's a veteran because she's the only remaining member of the 8th MS team still here because Terry's a transfer and Shiro's a transfer, so she's got to be pretty good at what she does, right?
Yeah, and Mitchell doesn't count.
Well, Mitchell's also a transfer, and well, he's also not a mobile suit team. Yeah. But Elidor is the only, like, remaining long-term member, apparently, and he's a, like, support tanker.
And the old prospector. I'm not sure if he's part of the 08th MS team or just
he seems to be
liaison.
A member of just, like, base personnel.
Or just Elidor's bro, but
yeah. There's Zakus and them Thar Hills is definitely a thing he would say.
You have a high point, Zach.
Yes. I think my high point is probably the fight between Captain Norris and Shiro at the end.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It establishes Norris as an antagonist. He gets away. He links in with the rest of the plot later in a way that makes this episode feel at least a little connected to later stuff. Although Tyler earlier was like, oh, it's the same guy as later. So obviously he doesn't do a great job of it.
It's mostly
he's wearing his helmet entire episode. Yep. And the next episode he never puts it on.
Yeah, next episode he's in a fancy suit.
So it makes it a little bit harder to see that because his character design shifts just enough. Especially because you see him basically this entire episode from the top up and he's got that helmet on so you don't have the full frame of reference for him.
They also, I think, only say his name once in this episode, and I think I just missed it the one time it came up.
I think you're right.
The best part of 08th MS Team is not the vibes, but the aesthetics of it. The way the guns all seem like they have recoil. The attention to realism they put in this series that they make you want to think Gundam always has, and they actually treat it with this one. So I think my high point is just going to be specifically the physics on the Gundams and the guns the entire time. Do you have a low point, Tyler?
I do absolutely have a low point, and it's how much time was spent faffing around with the gorillas, and specifically the gorilla boss, until it was time to go now. Okay, bye.
You stole mine from the beginning of the episode.
I did.
That scene could work if he was making, like, if it was more of a debate, like or a negotiation where it's like, hey, you let me go, I will see to it that you get medicine and stuff like that. Instead, the big boss is just kind of like, I'm going to drink tea as you talk at me, and then once we've hit the appropriate level of time, as Jeremy said, the DM has decided that, yes, now is time for you to, the scene to end, roll your diplomacy check.
But there's, like, four scenes, and, like, I think six total exchanges of Shiro being like, I don't have time for this, let me go, and, like, I don't know, it just feels like wasted time.
They do spend, I think, way too much time on it. That was also mine.
But now you must pick another.
Now I have to pick another. I think mine has to be, there are a couple of scenes in the action sequence. We didn't bring it up, but it really looks like a couple of those scenes went on the B teams list for animation. A couple of my I watched and I was like, that's pretty rough. Like there's, I think, a scene of some Zeon soldiers running away from one of the explosions that, man, it really looked like somebody cheaped out there. And for a premium product like this, it's like spotting those. And I called out the one animation of, or shot of Karen's face that looked like a ditto. Like, for something like this, seeing that kind of thing is just like, wow, someone cheaped out here, and they really probably shouldn't have.
Tyler took the real one, so I'm going to take the less real one of Elidor putting the gum over his porn, because I don't get it. What's going on? Look, I'm not trying to kink shame you, Elidor. I just don't understand. Again, with the sort of aesthetic vibe, you know, young army guy has porn. I'm totally fine with that. A young army guy does weird thing with porn. Okay with that. Why he put piece of gum over boob? Me no get. That's the good part, I think. Maybe he and I have different tastes, I guess, but...
He's just really into Gumby. I don't know.
Do you have an MVP, Tyler?
Like, okay, so I guess my problem is he's going to get a lot of them this show, but I think it is actually Shiro for like coming up with a plan and having a high charisma score and then actually saving the day at the end.
And then keeping his word?
Yeah.
He's a shonen protagonist, which is weird for Gundam, but they do tend to dominate their series, right?
Yep.
Zach?
I was thinking that it might be... like a couple of the other people, but the more I think about it, the more I kind of fall on the side of Tyler, where I think it's just Shiro, because he kind of drives all of the action in this sequence, but there's also that consequence of he's literally the boss. Yeah. Like,
I mean, don't get me wrong, Karen is the goat. She does the stupid thing that he said to do, even though he's clearly not there.
But we talked about Karen getting to do things, and that's true in a micro-action sense, but she doesn't really have any agency in this episode. And not in the way you typically talk about it, where like, oh, this character has been kidnapped and doesn't have any agency. But it's Shiro's plan. Shiro is the one who finds the complication in the middle and solves it. Shiro is the one who gets to be the hero when he shows up for the sneak attack. And then Shiro is the one who gets a fight with a named character at the end.
Yep.
So it's got to be Shiro, even though I think there are arguments for Karen and Kiki and... maybe even Norris. I think you have to be real just looking to avoid giving it to Shiro to give it to any of them.
That was kind of my thought as well as I was running down. I'm like, well, I like what these characters did, but then it's like, yeah, but Shiro does literally everything.
Yep.
Well, like,
I consider Kiki
like,
also.
But... it feels like if I want to give it to somebody else, I'm just trying to come up with an excuse not to give it to Shiro.
Anything else we want to say about this episode?
I did want to point out again, it's it was kind of a runner-up for High Point for me, mostly because I think it's a nice detail of showing that the gorillas are not necessarily on the side of the villagers. I don't know if that ever becomes relevant again, but they did bother to animate it, so.
It is an interesting little bit of, like, visual storytelling. I can't remember if they do come back to it, but I'm still enjoying this one, like, yeah, we're still not necessarily into a big, like, here's where the story starts necessarily, but they're putting a lot of effort into making all of these guys kind of feel like a team of soldiers that is still trying to coalesce.
Something that I was thinking about also is that the, like, all the mobile suits and stuff are drawn very Gundam style. The characters themselves have, like, a much more cartoony feel to me than a lot of Gundam shows do, which kind of lends the, like... out of mobile suit moments a lot more like wacky energy than Gundam tends to have.
I think that's just a result of 90s Gundam, because I feel that way about Gundam Wing as well. And Gundam Wing specifically feels like Batman the Animated Series. And this feels like a midpoint between that and like Gundam Seed and when we get to the digital color era.
But I mean, Gundam Wing even was still a lot more po-faced than...
yeah.
Than this is, because, like, even out of the...
because this has the budget to animate faces, Zach, and Gundam Wing did not have that, so there was no need to have the faces be expressive.
Okay, I guess that's fair. I mean, in that series, basically the only guy that was allowed to have a facial expression was Duo.
And Zex, but only when he had the mask on.
So he only had half a facial expression.
Just so that he can grin maniacally.
No, it's because they didn't have to animate his eyes.
Ah.
All right. We will be back next week with episode 4 of Mobile Suit Gundam, the 08th MS team, The Demon Overhead. Until then, keep it grounded. Kiki, show the Anson the way back. Make sure he's not watching you, but that you're watching him.